I read an article in the New York Times science section some months ago that I found very compelling. And I can't talk to you about it as a scientist, but I can only tell you my response to it, which is they defined, if you will, reality as infinite possibility. Every instant, if you want to talk about things in terms of time, every instant is absolutely infinite in what could happen. It can go this way, 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 this way. And I'm pointing in every direction. And they say that what truly defines reality is a kind of collapse of all possibility into the one that occurs. The very thing that happens is real. At the instant something happens, every other possibility, every other part of that infinite fabric is extinguished into this moment. If you want to get a sense of the power of the moment, you can just try this. You can do it now, or you can do it in your mind, or do it later. But you just hold up your finger and let it sit there. And then whenever you feel like it, move it about 1/16 of an inch. At that moment, you have extinguished every possibility in the universe for your finger but that one. You have just changed reality completely forever in the movement of your finger. If you were to experience what is called the mudra, mudra is movement of the hand in spiritual practice. If you ever look at pictures of Buddha or any of the great teachers, any of the seated teachers, they usually have their hands in some kind of position. Often it's just on their knees like this, with their forefinger and their thumb together, holding energy within their body, if you will, within their sphere. And there is no movement. And they are seemingly at peace with what is. They're just simply being. They are not consciously collapsing the infinite into the moment. They are just resting in the moment. But of course, we know that even resting in the moment doesn't collapse the interior life of our being, which involves experience of thought, emotion, and physical sensation. And the more you sit there and surrender, don't engage in thought, don't engage in your emotion, don't engage in your bodily awareness, just simply be there. It's as if you have no weight, as if you have no impact on reality. You simply are. And in that moment of pure being, you experience something that is free, relatively free, of impact on existence. In mudra, the teacher or the Buddha moves their arms, their hands. And if you move your arm or your hand very consciously, meaning that you pay enormous attention to it, what you discover as it moves is that it has enormous impact on your thoughts or lack of thoughts, on your emotional life, on your nervous system, on your entire bodily awareness. So as your hand rises from your knee and it just slowly comes up, there is a world of experience taking place inside you, and the quieter you are, the more you become aware of that. And you start to see that there is an enormous connection between these very, very subtle moments, which are, as they are occurring, collapsing the universe into a very powerful reality. And that reality is being expressed by the entire being of that person, and it is impacting their inner life and everything around them. If you go into a museum and you go into the Southeast Asian art collection or the Asian art collection and you look at these Buddhas and you stand in front of them and you get very quiet and still, you will see that the mudra they are holding, the position of their hand, impacts you. It can make you feel exceedingly calm, centered, powerful, at ease, open. It is an extraordinary communication between that still image and your bodily form. Something is transmitted from them to you. And then you discover, if you ever try this, that if you take your own hand and begin to mirror what you see, you will begin to understand what it is they are transmitting, what it is that is being given in that frozen moment that these statues represent. Each single moment of our life is a moment of creation. And again, what we are creating is reality. We don't, in the speed of our actions, grasp on any level how impactful our efforts and our actions are. Most of us go through the day totally out of control, unconscious, following these incredible series of needs, hungers, desires, fears. All of these things are moving us through the day. And in truth, we are, in our unconscious and very driven activity, creating the universe. So what happens if you slow all this down into this very, very still point of just sitting in this meditative space and just being? And then observe what happens when you choose to move your hand. Just observing the cognition, the thought process that goes into getting that hand to move, is an extraordinary thing, because you'll begin to start to see the mechanism of your own existence, how it is you do what you do. By slowing the process down, you will see what is going on in your participation in the creation of this universe. If you slow it down enough, you will start to see the difference between what you will call willful action, meaning I'm going to reach for that jar of peanut butter, and unwillful action, where you sit there and something goes, and you scratch your nose. Suddenly it happens. You don't do it. It just, the hand has its own need to move. It goes after something. Then there's another kind of activity, which is when you sit in absolute stillness and something moves you. You are not choosing to move. Your body isn't doing it unconsciously. There is a force, if you will, that is directing. And entering into you and causing movement. If you sit still enough, something in you starts to arrive. It arrives and then it starts to move, and you have very, very little to do with it. It has its own reason for being. It is creating in spite of you, using you. This energy arises inside you, and suddenly your hand is moving, as I experience as I teach the class, and it is causing enormous ripples in reality. It is moving the very fabric of existence between what I will call me and you. And it is allowing there to be a dialogue that is silent and unmotivated by either me or you. It simply is occurring. It is occurring at a place that precedes our conscious mind. And yet we are aware of it. We are in some ways a participant in it because it's happening through us. And yet it is not us doing it. It is what I would call life doing it. It is the life that is within us, or even more specifically, it is the life that we are. And it is operating. I can choose, as a ego entity, as a mind, to interfere with that process very easily. This extraordinary sense of life moving through me can be occurring, and I can at that moment choose, if I want, to completely disrupt it. I can go, okay, I'm done, I'm tired, my back hurts, I can go eat lunch, I can go have breakfast, I can do something else. There's something that comes into play that can just completely alter this very subtle and very dynamic force. And that's your will. It's your mind, it is your ego, having this unbelievable opportunity to do whatever it wants. And it, in doing it, impacts reality. I really could choose at any moment to take a knife out of a drawer and cut off my finger. I don't choose to do that, but I have the power to do that. I have the power to end my existence or to end somebody else's existence. I have the power to do just about anything. The only thing impeding that power is other people. Rules, laws, various societal, communal choices that are made that say, you can't do that. Or even the sense of group consensus that we have formed when we're about 3 or 4 years old that says, this is what the group does, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, and these start to constrain you. But mostly, within those rules, we are pretty much free to do whatever we want. And what's really interesting is this: is that if you really observe yourself doing what you want, you start to discover that much of what you want has consequence. If you want to go to the movie that night, that means you don't go to 400 billion other possibilities. You're going to go to that movie. You have just eliminated an entire sphere of potential to go to that movie. You've made that choice. You go to that movie, and it's horrible. It's a horrible movie, which is often the case these days. And you come out of the movie, and you're miserable. You go, what a waste of time. That was horrible. You made a choice. You gave yourself an experience. Now you're unhappy. So you come home, and you're unhappy, and what do you do? What do? I reach for some ice cream or something. And then I get on the scale the next morning, and what do I see? I just put on a pound from that stupid ice cream. And then I'm really unhappy. And it can go on and on and on. And so you can start to see what's called karma. Consequence of acting according to your will. Your desire to do something. You have created a reality that has consequence. And we are doing that all day long. We create reality that has consequence, not just for us, because by going to that movie with the 4 billion other people on the planet who decided to go that night to that movie, we just told the movie studio that a lot of people like this movie, so they're going to make tons of more movies like that. So our little presence there had a big impact on people who didn't know that you hated the movie. They just knew that they know that you went. So suddenly we have communicated a false idea to the world that now has got itself in action, and that's going to make a lot more bad movies. And what happens as a result of all of our actions in this very, very extraordinarily complicated and intricate and interrelated reality that we are all manifesting every second is that we all live with the consequences of what we do. So, what do we do to get out of those consequences, which both make us happy and unhappy? You get quiet. You get quiet, and you sit still, and you begin to remember yet again the power of taking your finger and moving it 1/16th, 1/16th of an inch. You have just changed the world. Then you sit there, and you get quieter, and you wait for this thing to occur, which is the awareness of life. The awareness of life within you. And then your hand rises, and it feels the universe. It feels being. It expresses itself to the universe. It sends life and love and energy to other beings. In the sense of mudra, it communicates deep, powerful places of being. You do not move again until it moves. And you start to feel what it is to be moved by life, instructed by life, led by life, nurtured by life, and you feel a communion with and a dialogue with this extraordinary thing that is happening all the time in you and around you. And it is the very creative force of existence. And it, if you allow it, carries you along. When you fight it or resist it, or your mind wills to go in some other direction, you lose this thing of being in flow. When you start to say to the moment, I don't like this moment. I rebel against this moment. You are fighting life itself. Now, I should explain just in a subtle way that even your resistance to life, even your fighting life, is part of the design. Life uses your choices, your will, for its own purpose. So your fighting life is still part of this extraordinary perfection. But you don't know that. Most of us never figure that out. But I can only tell you that when you slow down enough, you start to see how everything you do is as it should be. And there comes a moment in your spiritual practice, if you continue long enough, hard enough, or simply enough, where you suddenly go, I get it. I get it. I don't have to fight life. I can be one with this moment. I don't know about the next moment, but I can do it in this moment. I can be one with life right now. And it is an extraordinary shift. It's not a big thing. A lot of people think of it as a big thing. Suddenly you become enlightened. What does that mean? You're lightened of the load of trying to willfully manifest existence. You are lightened of the load of having to be the creator of existence. You are suddenly in touch with the very thing that is creating existence, and somehow it is flowing through you, and it is around you, and in truth, it is you. So, the joy of this meditative act, of sitting still, of holding your finger and your thumb together, sitting on your lap, waiting for the universe to announce its presence. And where does it announce its presence? Well, I'll tell you, one of the key places to go and one of the most miraculous places is right between your thumb and your forefinger. That touch that you experience right this moment, if you're doing it, that touch that you feel between these two spaces is the experience of being, of presence, of I am. This extraordinarily sweet touch that happens between your forefinger and your thumb is presence itself. And all you have to do to remind yourself that you exist at all is feel that. Settle into it. Be with it. Try separating your thumb from your finger and watch the enormous gulf that opens up between that connection and that disconnection. And somehow you are in both places. And there is a universe, an entire universe of existence and being that is created and destroyed between the moment you open and close your thumb and your forefinger. This is the simplest thing in meditation. You're sitting down, you got your back straight, your legs crossed, and you feel your finger and your thumb together, and you are present in this moment. And that's all you know. You don't have to be present in the next moment, because that moment will arrive, and then you'll feel your finger and your thumb, and you'll be present in that moment. And this continuum of presence is something you become comfortable in. It's something you become conscious of. And then you don't even have to hold your thumb and forefinger together. You just walk into the next moment and embrace it as it is. And if it comes at you being uncomfortable, if somehow the universe in that moment has completely shifted everything, if life has turned on that proverbial dime, and you find yourself in a completely different existence, which can happen to any of us, you still feel present in that moment and one with that moment. You don't go, I don't want this, I don't like this, I hate this. Or maybe if you do that, do it consciously. Say, I do not like this moment, I do not want to be in this moment, and just be present with that feeling. And that alone will allow that moment to alter and for you to be in a different relationship to that moment, and that relationship is called surrender, acceptance, allowing. And the minute you allow, there is no friction, there is no tension, there just is. And that isness is being. That being is our essence. Very few people ever get to understand how powerful they are. Very few people ever grasp that they are gods running amok in existence. Not truly amok, because, again, it's part of the design, but in terms of karma and consequence, all of this unconscious action that you engage in all day long, all night long, for your entire life, creates such a web of complication that it takes multiple lifetimes to unweave, if you're trying to literally unweave it. You know, karma plays out so that if you've done something bad to somebody in this lifetime, you will have an opportunity to do something good to them in another lifetime. So you've got now, let's say, 400 billion trillion opportunities to undo the things that you've done in infinite time before. That's a lot of lifetimes to deal with, when all you have to do, really, in the meditative sense, is stop now. Stop. Be present. Let go of everything that ever was, because even the last second is already a billion years ago. Just let go, be in this moment, and being in the moment cleans out all of your past karma. And if you stay in the moment, meaning just be present, you do not create new karma. It is the freeing process of the universe. This sitting still and being allows you to become liberated. And then you discover you can walk through the day in this place. You can eat food. You can say hello to people. You can do your creative work. You can do your day-to-day work, all from the same place. And the miracle of that is everything you're doing is without producing karma. Nothing you're doing will create consequence for anyone or you, because it will all be part of the flow of life. There is no consequence to you. You are already one with this infinite, endless creativity of existence. There will be consequence to your body. There will be consequence to your physicality. Somewhere along the way, the things you eat and the way you live have impact on your physical being. And some point along the way, your physical being is going to cease to be. And for many people, that's a horrifying idea. But when you've sat still long enough and you've discovered this enormous flow of life that is carrying you and is rising through you, when you discover that you are life, then the only thing that dies is your body, and the rest of you is life itself. To get to that point is to live very differently. I can only tell you, I have been tasting that. And it is changing my makeup. It's changing my nature. I have been finally at a place in my spiritual practice where I am embracing what is. And a lot of time what is not fun. It's not pleasant. It's not easy. It's not particularly attractive. But it's there. And so I go, okay, I don't like this, but I'm here. And I just keep being there, and I do this literally through the night, because a lot of stuff goes on at night. And it is changing my work. It is just keeping me vibrantly in the moment, vibrantly alive. And it is sometimes scary, but it doesn't matter that it's scary, because you just stay with the fear. And if you don't become afraid of the fear, which is a reaction to it, if you're just alive in the fear, there is no you being fearful. It's just, there's fear. And you go, oh, there's fear. And you move into that, and into the next moment, and the next moment, and ultimately there's no movement. You're just in the moment, and life is happening. What's life doing? It's changing everything, which is what it does. Constantly, it's just changing and changing, and you simply are in the present moment. And in the present moment, it's like falling down a well. If you take get rid of all the sides of the well, and you diminish the bottom, and there's no top to look at as you're falling away from it, what is falling down a well but just floating? You're just floating. If there's no time, there's no movement, there's just pure being. This is what we are all coming to in our practice, and we are all at that point where we can take our finger and remember the enormous power that we have right now to collapse all of existence into this one reality, the one we're in now. You have endless power to do that. You are gods on the earth. You change the universe every second. Do it consciously. Or do it, how can I say, don't do it consciously, allow it to be done and observe it consciously. Any questions?
Thanks for that explanation of reality. It's very clear. I have, growing up as a Christian, I already have the idea of God and divine will. So, first of all, the idea that we're all creating this universe moment by moment, is that mutually exclusive from divine will, or is it, by sitting, we're letting it through?
Think of divine will as life itself. Life is divine will. There comes a point where the mind can't grasp any of this, and you have to stop, and you have to just go into what I call wonder and mystery, because I don't know how you go beyond that. It's part of faith and part of trust, but there is something that is making this happen, that is allowing this to happen. And I will call it divine will, but I will also tell you, when you really surrender your resistance to that divine will, you become one with it. Not your mind. You. The mind tends to be in opposition to divine will. Not truly, because the mind, nothing is in true opposition to divine will. But individual will, the mind's will, tends to pursue the future. It tends to look for something that will benefit it down the road, which means it's not getting its true benefit, which exists right at this moment. And as soon as you are pursuing this false idea of what I would call happiness or pleasure, as soon as you are in pursuit of that, you have lost the joy of being, the bliss of being. You're pursuing this other thing that has, you know, yin and yang in it. It has positive, negative. It has joy and suffering. It has all that stuff, which is part of the mind fabric that creates this world, and that's how the world works. And not that the world's a bad thing, so yes, you engage that, and most of us engage it very young, unconsciously. Spiritual work is the opportunity to see how this is all coming about and to become a partner in it in a very deep and profound way, which is to let go of your personal mind, your personal will, or to allow yourself to see personal mind and will as part of divine will. And then there is this wonderful communal exchange, and you are no longer in it on your own. You're in it as a partner of and servant of, if you will, this divinity. Does that make sense? Every religion knows this. All of these, everything we're doing, really, all of our teachings participate in that truth. But as soon as they become mind, as soon as they become cognitive, you can't understand it. And as soon as you try to understand it, you're no longer in it, because understanding it immediately separates you from it, and separating from it is the very thing that causes you to suffer. So stop trying to understand it, be in it, and you will know it, and you will not need to grasp it on any level. You just want to be one with it. Anyone else?
So when do these recordings go on your internet site?
I haven't figured that out. We're talking, Tom and I were talking a little bit about podcasting and how to do that. Well, at some point they will be available. It's the first time I've ever recorded, and I figure I must be doing it for a reason, although I don't know exactly what that reason is, but sharing it seems to be the opportunity that is going to come from this. So I'll let you know. Anybody else?
Do you think I'd get the same effects by taping my two fingers together?
You could do what?
Do you think I'd get the same effects if I taped my two fingers together?
No, because then your fingers would be stuck and you'd be miserable. You would go, oh, God, I can't stand this. You know, it's a choice. It's a conscious choice. And it's very subtle. I have to say, you can walk around like this all day and feel nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like bringing your attention into that space, feeling that, and it's so light, it's so ephemeral almost. It's like that little bit between where they're about to come apart and they're just touching. They're just that incredibly light thing. There's something unbelievably powerful happening there. And that thing that's happening is not in your fingers, it's in you. You're touching life. You're touching existence. That's why human contact is so important, when we touch another person. It's so powerful. But we don't always get to touch another person, so you learn to in the beginning to just touch yourself. That awakens you to being. Touching another awakens you to a whole other dimension of being. It's one of the great things we seek in human life, is to truly touch another, because when we really do it deeply, we discover we are touching a whole other aspect of our own self. It's great joy. It's great joy. Okay, guys, let me make a few announcements. A week from Tuesday is Rudy's Samadhi, and I'm going to be here for that. Blanche will be in New York, so I'm sort of on my own with this, which is somewhat troubling. We are going to try to have our usual dinner, and we are going to show Rudy's, thanks to Paul, a DVD of his teaching. And anyone who wants to bring food, I will order deli food, which we do every year. Anyone who wants to supplement that with their own dishes is welcome to bring something. We probably need desserts. We probably need a few hot dishes if anybody wants to do it, or salad. And if nobody wants to, we'll just have sandwiches, which is fine with me. Probably easier to clean up. But if people are going to do this, you should sign up for that to bring something. You should call. I guess you should call me or email me and tell me what you're going to bring. And if you're going to come at all, you should sign the list downstairs so we know that people are going to be here. I suspect we won't have as many people as we have had in the past, but whoever comes, it will be sweet. And I've often said, if you want to bring somebody to this particular gathering, you're welcome to do it, significant others. But please sign up if you think you're going to come so we get a sense of it, and I will send an email message out as well to do this. And anybody who wants to help with the cleanup and the setup, I will appreciate it. Is there anything else? Sign up?
I need to show someone where everything is, so it would be helpful to know if at least one person is ready to commit.
If there's anyone who's ready to commit today.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, great. Yeah, Jackie knows where stuff is. Okay, Carmen, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, guys, thanks very much, and thank you for coming.